When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Your brother faced with hard luck. Faced with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Your brother faced with hard luck.
Welcome everyone to the Hard Luck Show. I'm your host, Sean Lewis. Welcome back for the second episode in the series of Street Legacy SoCal Style Masters. It's the series that's recorded at the California Center for the Arts in Escondido. If you haven't listened to the last episode, you might want to pause this one and peep out part one. But for now, we have more from the event with an episode that brings sort of a small tribute to the man at the top of tribal streetwear, Bobby Ruiz. We catch a small bit of him in the wild, but more importantly, we talk to a lot of the people that hold him up, man. His staff, his family, his admirers. You know, decades of work have put him at the top, and he's continued to push this culture. So without further ado, let me bring you more from the show. It is Street Legacy SoCal Style Masters on the Hard Luck Show.
Do you guys mind if I start recording this conversation a little bit?
Yeah,
please, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was telling him that I like this piece right here. He has all the homies posted, but I was going to tell him it just stands out to me that they all have the same face, though, but still, I still like the way they came out with pencil.
So we're the Hard Luck Show, right? Yeah. Podcast, and we're here and we're doing interviews with the various artists. We were brought here, invited by Bobby Tribal, right, to come in and talk to everybody and put it out there on the podcast. So, Mr. Martinez, you have obviously somebody who appreciates your work, and he's discussing your pencil drawings right here. What has been your experience so far as being part of the Tribal SoCal Master Street Legacy exhibit?
My experience?
Right now, yeah, just off the top of your dome, whatever. Formal.
Honestly, it's been intimidating because there's a lot of badasses that are here. And I got to meet some of my heroes last night because it was the artist reception. I'm just here. I'm freaking getting nervous right now just talking to you.
Right. So what would be some of the heroes or badasses that you are like, wow, I can't believe I'm in a show with these guys?
There's a lot of them, but like the main one is like OG Abel.
That guy's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I there's so many, like almost everybody pretty much that's here. Yeah.
Maybe you can speak to this because I think a lot of people can identify a little bit with, they know they're talented, they have their spot, they do their thing, but the flip side is they also maybe are not reluctant or don't want to rush in to say, I'm in the same ranks as OG Abel or whoever else, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know.
What is that? Why not? Because here you are. I mean, I'm looking at these amazing pieces of artwork with the Ducks and the gang lifestyle and some of the street lifestyle, whatever that is part of the culture. And you're clearly here. It's framed and it looks fantastic, as good as anybody else's. So what is it that still causes you to feel a little bit intimidated? Or
I think it has to do with them coming before me and them being an inspiration to me. And it's because of them, in a way, it's because of them that I was, that I got to this point. Because had it not been for them, they inspired me somehow in some way, something that they did or a piece that they worked on, or even just them constantly working. It would inspire me, and since they were here before, it just puts, I don't know, I just feel like I'm beneath that.
How did you start?
I started drawing, or?
Yeah, well, I mean, what, your art, like, where would you say it begins? How old were you?
It goes back to, I'm like the typical kid that drew. I would just lay on my stomach and just draw dinosaurs and cartoon characters and comic book Spider-Man and all that stuff, and then that turned into like lowrider kind of lowrider art. I don't know if you remember Lowrider Art, the magazine. Yeah. Lowrider Arte, and then that started inspiring me, and I started drawing lowrider cars, and then that led to like Aztec art, and then from there I went into more like it just kept changing. In the end, it became like Rembrandt and Caravaggio, like Renaissance. Like that, those paintings right there.
Right, I was just going to look at that
technique.
Absolutely, yeah. I was just going to say that you, like, you could be in the Louvre and you might see this type of. And what we're talking about now is not the pencil drawings, but we're now talking about the paintings. And it's great because, in some ways, the subject matter, like the teddy bears and all that stuff, is atypical for the still life work that you would see from a Rembrandt or Hieronymus Bosch or whatever it is, right? And yet here it is, and it looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's basically the old with the new. I don't know. That's the only way I could explain.
When you started out where you started, and I think a lot of people could identify with. Okay, at some point I'm going to try to draw comic books because they're just fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right.
That was me.
And perspective and action and all that stuff. And by the way, did you have a favorite superhero that you like to draw?
I wasn't loyal to the superhero. I was loyal to the artist. Whatever Todd McFarlane drew, whatever Jim Lee drew, whatever there's others, Rob Liefeld, there's a bunch of whatever they drew, I followed. When they left Marvel, I followed. I know that it's gonna bump some people out that love the superheroes, but I didn't care about the super. Whatever they drew, they've just made it look better. Spider-Man look better. He made, you know what
right.
I mean?
That is true. Well, how would you describe McFarlane's style?
That guy's a badass. I don't know. His words, he says he made things look sexier. I don't know what that means, but I get an idea because he did. He changed little things, like he just distorted things. The way he drew the web, the eyes of Spider-Man, Venom's long-ass exaggerated mouth with all the teeth.
Right.
Like, it was just the way he drew things that just, I don't know, it was just something. I remember I would go to the comic book store as a little kid, and I wouldn't even buy anything. I'd just go there and I'd just look at everything that he drew, or that Rob Liefeld or Jim Lee or all these other guys drew. And I had this feeling in me. I didn't know at the time, but I was being inspired. And I remember I would jump on my bike and just head home, like drive, go all the way home, and then I'll just start drawing. I had no idea that what was going on. And I do that now, but with this stuff. Like now I go to museums and the same exact thing happens. I get inspired and it makes me just want to be better. It makes me want to just go home and paint and draw.
So when you started to study the so-called classical masters in the Renaissance, what did they do the same or different that in lowrider art and comic book art and some of the street stuff, What did you notice was that you were like, oh my God, these people that are supposedly classical painters are actually doing, everyone's doing the same thing. What were some epiphanies or some insights that you got?
Some similarities between the two or what they were doing different?
Both. I mean, just your insights, because you actually went that journey. So I'm actually interested to see what some things you saw that were the same or different.
When it came to I guess classical art, like Rembrandt and all them, I didn't understand it at the time. I just knew that I liked it, but later on I realized the reason why I loved it so much was because they focused a lot on dimension, on form, on making stuff look a little bit more 3D, which lacked in like comic books. So in comic books, everything is flat, right? And which is also cool. Graphic art is great, but it's just another level. It's, both of them are their own. They're their own deal. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It was just something else. And the same, I mean, the composition and their similarities.
Like,
both art forms focus on composition and dark and light and all these other things that are the same.
So in turning back to your work, so this pencil drawing, like the one that we're looking at now, it looks like different versions of Daffy Duck. I'm going to say that. I don't mean any disrespect, but that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
And then it looks like maybe what would be a conventional or at least an idealized conventional scene that someone might see in South Central.
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
To add to what I was saying earlier, too, I'm sorry, I thought of it as you were saying. There's also, I realized with a lot of art that I love, there's narrative. Like, it's not just a picture of something. There's also like a story behind it that I love. And so that's another difference between the two, I guess. But going back to your question.
Right. Let me break right in and just say, as I've been talking with Mr. Martinez, I mean, constant flow of people taking picture of the drawing that he just did because they just love it. They know we're trying to do something. And they're like, I'm sorry, I got to get in here because I drove all the way from New York just to take this picture. So that's how much he's admired and loved. So now going back to the pencil drawing, what were you going to say?
So you mentioned that it looked like a scene from South Central Los Angeles or somewhere in L.A.
Yeah.
Which is great. For me, it's great. One, because it's actually not from L.A. It's actually a street in my neighborhood, and I'm from Oxnard. So I grew up in an area called Colonia, and it's a neighborhood. And it's a street. It's on McKinley. And it's a house that pretty much, from what I'm finding out, like on Instagram and just talking to people here today, it's a house that can be in anybody's neighborhood pretty much. Even on Instagram, I've had people comment on the post that I posted of it saying that, oh, that looks like a house in Kentucky or something like that, like some random state in the U.S. So
it's got a flip-flop on the roof, a chancla on the roof, right? And this does have a narrative to it, right? I mean, your eye can kind of go through that porch. And, I mean, how did you come up with the characters? They look the same in a certain extent, but you can see that they're all different. So how did you come up with who these characters were and what they were feeling?
So as I was coming up with the design, I did have certain people that I grew up with in mind. So like I would think of this one guy that I would hang out with, and I'm like, oh, this is this guy right here. Oh, this is this guy right here. And then I threw myself in there too. I don't know if you see this guy, the one in the middle that's already twisted. He's holding a beer.
He's just faded. Chilling.
Yeah, that's pretty much me right there.
You're not the guy that's taking a leak on the fence?
No, that guy, yeah, that's a shameless guy. But I was probably that guy too. Because when you're drunk, what do you don't
We've
realize
all been that guy.
Passing by, yeah. It did go through a lot of thought process as I was designing it, and there is a reason why I put a little like the children passing by.
Well, that's interesting because you're right. You put a child passing by. She's got a backpack and she's got a human form. She's not a duck character at all. What was the choice in leaving her as a human?
So I left her a human, and I don't know if you noticed, but there's also two little boys right there.
Watching,
and so it it's I don't know how to sum it up, but it has to do with an old saying that says, if you walk like a duck, quack like a duck, you're a duck.
Right.
And I had a cop tell me that one time, a long time ago, as he pulled me over, and I didn't know why. I questioned him why, and that was his response. And so I ran with the duck idea because I realized that I looked a certain way, and that's why he stopped me. And so he stopped me not because I looked like that, but more so because people that look like me did this kind of stuff. And the kids are there watching the ducks do these things, and they basically, it's like a circle, right? You end up being a product of your environment. So this is actually a story of me. I'm actually the little boy, and my brother can be the other one, but I'm also the duck later on in life.
Right.
So I grew up seeing this, and it became my norm, and then eventually I became the freaking duck. And then now there's kids watching me do this, and I'm not realizing it now, but I'm teaching them something, not intentionally, but they're seeing it, and they're, you know, there's like this little girl is just walking to school. She's just trying to make it to school or probably go home or whatever she's doing, and she has to pass by that house. And it's just, I don't know, there's a lot going on in this drawing. It's hard for me to just sum it all up into like a quick little...
Well, I want to say, Mr. Martinez, I think that that was all that needed to be said. I think that was eloquent, and I think everybody, Mr. and Mrs. Earbuds, are going to feel exactly what you're talking about. And I hope that, you know, at least with what we can take away from a lot of the work that you did, that you've done here, is that there are children watching us, right? We don't have to necessarily go down a certain path.
Yeah.
Right? And also, we can turn what might be a dark thing into a positive, bright message, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much what I'm trying to just make people aware. It also has to do with stereotyping, and
right.
to an extent, to this day, I kind of do it too. I don't mean to, but I feel like we all might do it a little bit. You know, you see somebody and you kind of judge them. You know, it could be with tattoos, like their face is tattooed, and you think that they're a certain way, but then they end up being cool as fuck. Or, you know, they have a hoodie over their head, and you think they're up to no good, but really, they're not. It's just a kid that just grew up seeing that, and he just thinks it's cool to have the hoodie over his head. He's not doing anything wrong, but he was raised.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Earbud.
Just give me 1 second, I just want to introduce it.
Yeah, please.
Quintanar.
Julie, hey, what's up,
dude?
This is one of the guys
that's talking about. These guys need to meet. I need to make this happen. So,
this is a part of Bobby Tribal's artwork.
Damn, some early mornings paying off. He's rocking the tank.
Stop it! Stop it!
Look at he's like, stop it!
Stop it! Some more.
Where's Lug?
He's up and he's got a cookies event right now.
Whatever,
yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, we're here.
That's right.
We're here.
Come through.
We talked to Mr. Martinez. He talked to us all about his beautiful art. And we also talked to a couple of other artists that walked us through their process. And we've just been blown away by just not how amazing inside and outside what you've set up, you and Jim Dacian have set up.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows that you guys have been doing this for decades, and you've collected and curated the best and the greatest of the SoCal Masters to show what's really going on. And we also saw your progeny not too long ago over by Rice or Death and had an awesome talk with him.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate what Tribal's done, and we appreciate your invitation to come down here.
Thank you.
So we thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys made it.
Right. And I understand you're super busy. And
right on. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I appreciate it. Like, did they set you guys up okay? You guys
perfectly.
Are good? Cool.
You know how it is. One word from Bob and it's all taken care of. You know how it is. Yeah, we saw all the cars and we talked to Mr. Bowtie and we're making the rounds. So we probably are going
to... Sorry to pull him away. I just had to make this happen.
We actually were getting to the end.
I'm making an ass out of myself.
No, he was telling a phenomenal story about this piece right here. I mean, he was going through his process, what he thought, how he came up with the characters, where this house might actually be at, all of those things.
It's the posture, the posing, there's so much into that. And that's what I was telling Chewy. There's a story there that I don't know. There's something about Horacio that He's got something going on.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a past. Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, he told us not to mess around. Yeah. He's like, I got a little bit of a past, so keep yourself clean right now.
No, a lot of people have been talking about your work, these pieces and the piece in the hallway. Or what's your other piece? Right here,
The baño.
Yeah. You seen his baño? So I was like, you and I were just talking about
that. That was an older one too, huh?
Yeah, that one's old, yeah. I've had it for a while.
I think I saw it in the lowrider arte or...
No, it's not that old. No?
You saw it at my shop. I have a print.
Oh, I saw it.
I have a print.
To keep recording the conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, it's easy to do amazing stuff with Bobby Tribal around. Look at this.
I was hoping to run into you guys, so it's cool.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Camera dudes.
What's up, man?
Hey, I want to interview some camera dudes.
For sure, man.
What do you? Who were you shooting for yourself? You got a documentary going? What's going on?
We're shooting a documentary. I think it's for, what's the name of the guys?
For Jim and Bobby.
Jim and Bobby.
Tribal.
Yeah.
Oh, so the whole process of this thing coming together.
I've been for a couple months.
Oh, right. Why can't I talk to you?
I mean, he just hired me on. I just know a little bit, you know, just helping out, just friends. You know,
right.
Stuff.
All right. So you don't have the credentials to go deep on this one.
No, not me, man.
All right. Losing this guy. No ego. That's the kind of guy you want on a team. Guy's really to pitch in. So is it going to be a docu-series or is it going to be a documentary that's
like
yet...
like a 20, 25-minute documentary that we're trying to premiere with San Diego Design Week.
Awesome. And it's directed by?
Hunter Scheidt. We're through Bar 77 Productions.
Awesome. Is there anything that you want to say about this exhibition and for how long it's going to be going on? Anything interesting that you want to say or that you've seen from behind the scenes? Something interesting.
The artists that are in it. Shepherd Ferry and then have the random guys you've never heard of.
Right.
It's pretty impressive that you can collaborate all those people, get intertwined as a community, and bring it all together in Escondido.
What about Old Blue Eyes? Are you a fan of his art?
Yeah, I'm a fan of all of them, to be completely honest.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, if I interview him, I'm going to say, and you're Hunter?
I'm Hunter, yeah.
I'm going to say, Hunter, the director's a fan of your graffiti art, Old Blue Eyes. All right? I'll get an autograph.
All right.
All right. Musician? You kind of look like him a little bit. What are you related to him?
I'm the owner of Tribal Streetwear and son of Bobo Ruiz.
Awesome. So, my God, my friend, you put on a massive exhibition.
What's up? How's it going?
Good. We're very excited about it. What are some of the secrets of the exhibition?
Damn.
You heard it here first.
Wait, the secrets?
I mean, any interesting story, backstories, anything? Something funny happened? You get your shoelace caught in like a customized hydraulic machine?
Shit. Dude, I think everything went as perfect as it could have happened. As far as, you know, people like not showing up to deliver art, that happened and... You know,
but that's the art world, right?
Yeah. I mean, the art world is completely different. People wait until last minute, and
that's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, we're last minute. Yeah, it went really good.
Right. So what else is going on, man? I mean,
I'm great, dude. I showed out with Tribal. I'm happy to help the family, of course, and you know, I don't know, man. There's been a lot of work, a lot of stress, but it's like, it's dope because it's like hometown. You know, for us, for me and my pops and Bobo, it's our hometown. Finally, gonna do something.
I've never seen your pop so focused and so busy. Like he's directing traffic. He's got a million people that want to take a picture with him, and he's like, "Bro, I'm working. I don't know what you think."
I'm glad I moved out at the right time because if I was living at home, I probably would have went crazy with him.
Right.
Yeah,
but it's in a massive show, right? It's 60 days.
Dude, we got extended to October.
October. Holy smokes.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. And, like, I've been telling, like, my family and friends, like, we've been wanting to do something local for so long because North County, Escondido, we don't have a lot. So something like this is, like, it's amazing for me. I've been living here for 25 years, and, you know, we've never had something this cool.
Yeah, I think this really cements Tribal Streetwear and your father into being a massive cultural icon and also somebody who curates or is able to put together the culture itself.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, man. That means a lot because I think there's not a lot of people that's, you know, they're like a one-man thing. They could do streetwear really well or art shows really well, but my dad's super focused and like we're joking around like about him being stressed out, but I mean it paid off, right? Like
I mean I said he was hard working and focused. Stressed was your word.
Hey, yeah.
I said hard working and focused. That's you know, I didn't say stressed out, but yeah. Yeah. But there's some CBD oil, right?
There's a lot of CBD gummies. A lot of CBD gummies.
No, so I didn't see. So I talked to your dad earlier today, and he didn't seem necessarily stressed, but he was focused and he was handling stuff. And it was just funny to me because normally he does have time to sit back and talk and stuff, but actually he's got to make sure that the cars are parked right. How many cars? It's like 120.
Yeah, I would imagine like over 100 cars, over 100 artists, and then vendors and. Yeah, man, it's easily 400 people just in vendors.
And every single person that's out there has been personally in connection with Bobby Ruiz. Yeah. And so they have a personal relationship with him, yet he's putting together and managing, and along with Jim Dashent.
Yeah. Dude, I haven't even talked to 30 people this year. So for my dad to talk to all these people blows my mind. And I completely understand where, like, it does get chaotic. But, yeah, my dad and Jim, they're both geniuses in what they do. And for them to be able to handle it is incredible.
I agree with everything you just said. What's the hot new tip for the youngsters that are listening right now? Yeah. You're setting the stage.
You know what? I've had this conversation, I think, three times last night. And it's not something I normally speak on, but... The women in the art scene, the ones that showed out to the gallery, brought it, and we were talking about how inspirational that is for the younger women. So I think what I want to see is younger women in art and streetwear, like, really step up. Like, I feel like men and boys get a lot of, like, shit just handed to them immediately. So when we see stuff like Carly and, like, Sebastian Burgerface, like, when they do such amazing stuff, it really does make me proud. So I'm looking forward to more women in art and streetwear.
Well, you heard it here first. Streetwear culture, art, more women, and we could really use their take, their perspective. I agree with that. Thank you, man. That was beautiful.
Yeah. No, thank you guys, and I love you guys so much.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah. Thank you for always supporting us, man.
You guys are the best.
Hey, come on.
You're the best.
Hey, we're all the best. Hey. I love you guys.
Good to see you, man.
Hey, good to see you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. Hard Luck Show exclusive, right? The podcast that outlasts. We've got right now a gentleman named Chris,
who's
identified by Bobby Tribal's son as the man who has the biggest vintage collection of tribal gear. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's correct, but it is pretty big, I'd say.
How big is it?
Around like 400 pieces, including t-shirts, jeans, jackets, hoodies, sweatshirts, belts, towels, whatever you name it.
What's the one thing, is there anything that sort of is the wildest or the most different thing that Tribal Us put out? Like, did they ever put out like a, I don't know, like a playing card shoe or anything that usually it would be unusual?
Unusual? Nothing too out of the ordinary. I can recall like what you hold your beer in. What do you call those?
A
like,
cozy.
Yep.
A tribal beer cozy.
Tribal beer cozy.
There's, I love that.
There's like beach towels from the 90s.
Yeah.
DJ slip mats. There's purses for the ladies. Flip flops. Whatever you think, they've made it, man.
When did you start like collecting tribal stuff?
Roughly 5 years ago, I'd say. So 2017, middle of 2017, I'd say.
And what caused you to get inspired to do it? I mean, we know it's dope gear. We know the artwork's awesome. But how did you first get into it?
So growing up in Southern California, I mean, you see tribal everywhere you go, you know? Especially living in South San Diego, where I'm from.
Yeah.
I grew up 10 minutes away from POD. You see POD music videos. They're wearing all the tribal shirts.
Right.
So me as a little kid, I'm just like seeing it everywhere I go. And it's like, damn, the gear's just so sick. So for me, it's kind of like a nostalgic thing in a way.
Right.
And yeah, man, it's just the dopest gear.
And then all of a sudden, like at some point, you've got like a huge collection. How do you store it, or do you display it?
It's
do you do like a road show? Do you drive around and open it up?
I wish, man. It's all in my house right now, stored away in a bunch of different closets, and there's containers. Some of it's on display. I got posters up in my room. Some of my like my nicer things are kind of on display, but it's mostly just tucked away in little storage containers.
And are you gonna ever sell that stuff, or are you gonna keep it?
I do sell some of it if I have doubles, triples, quadruples of it. But even at that, some of them I just like can't get rid of, man. Like they're too cool to let go.
Is there a coveted tribal item that's real rare, like an upside down baseball cap, like a weird thing?
What I would say is the first like batch of shirts or button up shirts or the sweatpants from 1989.
Yeah,
that stuff is the hardest stuff to come across. Like I still don't even have one, and that's super rare.
And then how did you sort of get like brought into the tribal family? Because now you're in the booth, you know, you probably get first dibs on a lot of stuff. How did you get folded into the mix?
Bobby and I had communicated on Instagram about the whole collection that he has, because he's had everything he's ever made. And he was just saying how it's kind of like a pain. It's just in the way. So I came in and helped him organize everything and kind of get it in order. And just kind of organically, like, started hanging out with the boys when I'm in the shop and just chopping it up. And then they're like, oh, you want to learn how to print t-shirts? And I'm like, yeah. And little by little, they're like, oh, can you come in? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Like, I'll be there in an hour. And just, yeah, organically, just hanging out with them.
Do you see this as like, you know, like some people say like the secret or manifesting sort of what you visualize? Do you see this being that?
Definitely. I definitely do, yeah.
Right on. And where do you see in the future, in the vision, in terms of where you're going or what you think the next level in streetwear is gonna be?
The next level in streetwear, man, I think that it's just going back to its roots right now.
Yeah.
It's going back to its roots. A lot of people are starting to rock baggy jeans again, and Stussy's really big right now. Mm-hmm. And if you look back, Fresh Jive is kind of getting back up there. Mm-hmm. All these notable brands from the 90s are kind of coming back. So I think that, I guess you could say vintage is the new modern.
Do you think Maui and Sons is going to come back?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
I'm telling you right now, I will fucking rock a Maui and Sons shirt right now. Go ahead. TNC Surf.
TNC Surf? It could, man. Like, I feel like Dogtown could have its... It could come back.
Every Dogtown has its day.
Exactly. Exactly. You hit it right on the money.
All right, Chris. Thank you so much. Hey, where can people find you on Instagram?
2002. TW0TH0USAND2. 2002 spelled out with zeros instead of O's.
And they can find Chris, who is the master curator of the Tribal Collection, and probably eventually going to be probably a trendsetter, a trend hunter, somebody who's going to be able to define what the next level of clothing fashion is. And the next thing, are you ever going to buy digital t-shirts?
Definitely not.
Thank you guys.
Awesome. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Have a blessed day.
You too. This is Old Blue Eyes.
What's up, man?
What's up, brother? Nice to meet you.
We're the Hard Luck Show podcast. Bobby Tribal invited us down to do some coverage, make some content, whatever. So, of course, the natural thing is to talk to the man himself. Can you describe a little bit, sort of behind the scenes, what it was like working with Bobby and putting the show together and getting the setup?
I mean, it's something like super dope, man. Like, just seeing like all the artwork, like all the artists, like get together to like create this amazing show, man. Just like the relationship Bobby has, like, to like make all this work is like impressive, man. Like getting all these like top-notch artists like all in one place, like, it's just amazing to see it like all come together, man.
And that's kind of something that Bobby and I talked about in terms of his skill, not or his art, is that he's really great at bringing people together, making these connections, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because even in the middle of like an interview, we were talking to Mr. Martinez. We were going through like his artwork and blah, blah. And like right in the middle of the interview, Bobby comes up with other artists and introduces to everybody right then and there to say, you know, Chewy, you got to meet this guy. How did you meet Bobby Tribal?
I grew up in Mexico. So I moved here to Escondido, actually. In 2010, I met a guy named Zane that has a shop here. He's also one of the artists.
Zane? Yeah. Up in there? Yeah, I saw that.
One of the artists here. I was looking for a job. I ran into his store, went in there, like asked him if he needed any help, and he introduced me to Bobby. Like, he saw my portfolio. I do art, I do graphic design. So he's the one that like I owe a lot to, because he's the one that put me like in contact with Bobby and like with other guys. And I hit up Bobby, sent him an email, like, he gave me an interview, and I started working at Tribal. It's been 11 years now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
Why are so many people in the Americas, especially like Central and South America, why are they so creative?
I don't know, man. But definitely, man, like, every time, like, I go to Mexico and stuff, like, it's a lot of, like, art out there, like, people just hustle, you know. It's probably like people don't have it easy, so they look to expand, you know, like expand their creativity, like their resources to the max, man, like just to like get by, I guess. And that's probably where they find they're good at something, you know.
And what are some untapped, maybe natural or organic or sort of like art forms or arts that you've seen but have yet to pop or have yet to be tapped by quote-unquote mainstream or other artists? Like, have you seen some pockets where you're like, that's interesting what that group is doing over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, man. Like, even like creating a car, like creating like the little ice cream carts in there, like that's something like before I moved here to the U.S., that's something that, like, wasn't, like, in, like, my surroundings, you know? So just, like, coming here, like, seeing how people, like, could turn, like, an ice cream cart, you know, to, like, a piece of art, to a piece of art. Like, that's something impressive to me.
Right. And so in bringing all these people together and meeting these artists, was there anybody that you were like, oh, shit, I'm starstruck? That artist right there is somebody I admire.
Yeah, man, a lot of guys, man, like OG Abel, Shepherd Fairey, of course, Mike Giant, like since I was like super young, like Mike Giant was one of my favorite artists. And then like not too long ago, I started going to like art nights that he does at his studio in San Diego, and like I was stoked, man. I'm like, dude, I can't believe like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like I was like looking up his images on Instagram or on the internet basically, and now like I'm right here like in his studio like at an art night, you know? Mike Giant's one of the main ones, you know?
And for like something like Tribal, which of course we're here, which is a multi-month exhibition, right? SoCal Masters, Street Legacy, Bobby Tribal, Jim Dacian, right? Yeah. All those folks. Is there Is there some sort of sense that you're getting about where somebody who's who makes culture or is able to curate culture, you have a sense of where we're going aesthetically in the future? Like, what will become more important and less important, do you think?
I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I don't know. I just feel like everybody that, like, is part of this thing, like, brings something to the table, and I don't know, it's hard for me to tell, you know?
Right. Do you have a favorite color? Like, if you're like, I hate to admit this, but this is my favorite, or do you see them all the same?
The favorite what, sorry?
Color.
Color?
Yeah, color.
I like black.
Yeah,
like I love, like, when I paint, when I do like graphics and all that, like I always start off black, you know, like I always use black as like negative, so I always use black for everything. Like, that's where I start at. Yeah.
What does black mean to you? What does that mean to you?
I don't know. I just feel like you need black for, I don't know, like my artwork, like the type of art I do, like it needs black, you know, like as shading, like as high contrast. I just feel like I need it, like, in my work.
Do you listen to music when you do your art?
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
Mostly like 60s, like garage.
Really?
Punk rock, yeah.
Like what?
The Misfits, New York Dolls, like the Sonics, Fustones, like that type of stuff.
Right.
I like every type of music, but I really like enjoy like listening to that, like when I'm working.
Yeah, you know what's weird is when I have to do the work that I do and I spend a lot of time at it, I really like a lot of classic rock.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, if I'm just old or whatever it is, but I can get sucked into a classic rock loop forever.
Yeah.
Peter Frampton, like all these different things, and I'm like, why am I still listening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, do you have any advice for young artists or people who are out there? What should they be looking to do, or any thoughts?
Just keep doing your work, man. Like, don't follow like trends. Like, just like be authentic, you know, like sooner or later, like your stuff's gonna like be put out there, man. Like, honestly, like I would like never imagine like myself like being part of a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta like keep trying, man.
That's right. It. On well, thank you, Herman.
Thank
we
you,
really
man.
appreciate it,
man.
Thank you for your time, and of course everybody knows it's no secret, Tribal Streetwear, one of the greatest, if not the greatest brand of all time, is having an
Definitely.
exhibit, multi-month Escondido.
Yeah.
340 North Escondido Boulevard,
That's right.
California Center for the Arts, Escondido. And if you get lost or if you are confused, go see my man Herman over there at the Tribal Gear
right,
Tent,
man.
Right?
Yep.
Right on. Where in Mexico? Where are you from?
Aguascalientes. It's like the center of Mexico.
Nice.
Right in the middle, yeah.
Hot water.
Yeah.
Hot springs. Are there hot springs there?
Yeah. That was like what it was famous for. So that's where the name came from.
All right. Well, next trip, we're going to go visit and get into them hot waters.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
it, man.
Thank
you.
Thank you, man.
So that's it for us on this second episode. Check out more on the next episode as we wrap up the SoCal Style Masters series, Street Legacy. But like we do about this time, adios amigos from the Hard Luck Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.